Hello again from Beyond the Estuary. It's been a bit of a break since my last podcast, but I'm back again today and looking at some Australian Indigenous poetry, but starting with a non-Indigenous poet, a poet from probably you know from your school days, Dorothea McKellar, and her very famous poem, My Country. Probably know some of it off by heart. Dorothea McKellar lived from 1885 to 1968. Australian poet and fiction writer, born in the UK, spent quite a bit of time in Australia. Listen anyway to this poem. Before I then play you a poem by an Indigenous writer, poet Alison Whittaker, who reinterprets that poem, My Country, from perhaps a different point of view, an Indigenous point of view. So first, here's Dorothea McKellar herself reading My Country.
This is Dorothea McKellar. My country, the love of field and coppice, of green shaded lanes, of ordered woods and gardens is running in your veins. Strong love of grey-blue distance, brown streams and soft, dim skies. I know but cannot share it. My love is otherwise. I love a sunburnt country, a land of sweeping plains, of ragged mountain ranges, of droughts and flooding rains. I love her far horizons. I love her jewel sea, her beauty and her terror, the wide brown land for me. The tragic ring-barked forests, dark white beneath the moon, the sapphire-misted mountains, the hot gold hush of noon, green tangle of the brushes where lithe lianas coil, and orchids deck the treetops, and ferns the crimson soil. Core of my heart, my country, her pitiless blue sky, wind sick at heart, around us we see the cattle die, but then the grey clouds gather and we can bless again the drumming of an army, the steady soaking rain. Core of my heart, my country, land of rainbow gold, for flood and fire and famine she pays us back threefold. Over the thirsty paddocks watch after many days, the filmy veil of greenness that thickens as we gaze. An opal-hearted country, a willful, lavish land. All you who have not loved her, you will not understand. Though earth holds many splendors, wherever I may die, I know to what brown country my homing thoughts will fly.
Well, yes, a very romanticised attitude, isn't it, from Dorothea, and with a very English-speaking voice. She was born in England, as I said, and but lived quite a while in Australia, and her family owned very substantial properties around Gunnedah in New South Wales and also the Hunter Valley. Interestingly, the poet who reinterprets that poem, Alison Whittaker, who is also from that area, from the plains of Gunnedah, a Gomeroi poet and legal researcher. She perhaps has a less romanticised idea of her country, and she reinterprets, or I suppose interrogates, that poem of Dorothea McKellar's in a poem that she calls A Love Like Dorothea's. So this is now Alison Whittaker reading her poem A Love Like Dorothea's.
A Love Like Dorothea's. I loved a sunburnt country, dislodged in a memory. I never lived in time to love a love like Dorothea's, where cannibals of other kinds, the white woman has eaten the sky, and where's that leave them girls like I? Lost creatures chewing over the night. Of our missing sunburnt country, on which our prone feet land, yet onto which Michaela's gaze turns rivers into sand, and it burns my eyes to turn to hers. My wine-browed land out of like hands, but traced in fetish verse. I love a sunburnt country. I loved a sunburnt country. I love white nativity that digs its roots and ticks to suck the floodplains to the sea. It was her love that swept them sweeping plains from Nan, from Mum, from me. Caught in my heart, my country, beauty, terror, balm and bite, building, taking flesh, building furnace, taking flight, lavish and demanding, driving lapping cattle off, while emu and kangaroo unlike on highway going soft. I could have loved those twisting grass fans, grabbing moats with bubbied hands. Like I love this judied vastness, but I am less and less than land. I loved a sunburnt country. Won't it please come back to me? Won't it tell me why my spirit wanders, yet is never free? I will soothe its burns with lotion. I will peel off its dead skin, if it can tell me why I'm drifting ever further from my kin. I loved sunburnt country. Won't it gingerly limp back? I can't get past the concrete. My black tongue's gone off slack, and I am sorry, sweet Michaela, that it famished all your cows, your paddocks sudden thirsty, sudden green, no telling how. For the gold hush rainy drum was hard to violence and the plough. I loved a sunburnt country. I loved a sunburnt country that is mine, yet not for me.
Yes, I love those last lines. I loved the sunburnt country that was mine, but not for me. So she's perhaps saying there that that love of Dorothy McKellar's country, what that represented, was perhaps not a perhaps a more destructive influence than Dorothea and others like her realised. Alison Whittaker had a collection of poetry published in 2018 by Magabala Books, her book Black Work. I think it won a number of awards. But interesting to see that reinterpretation and I guess an interrogation of Dorothea McKellar's poem. And that's a way perhaps of looking at some of those older poems to reinterpret them in other ways. And it reminds me a little bit of what seems to be a little bit in the media these days, a term called cancel culture, particularly from the writers in the Murdoch newspapers, who interpret that sort of re-examination of the past as a way of an attempt to cancel all culture. And that idea of people wanting to pull down statues as wanting to cancel everything about the culture. But I think that's an illegitimate term, really. And the traditional beliefs are certainly up for reinterrogation and re-examination, I think, to be sure. Another Indigenous poet and also an actor, what you may be interested in, who's probably a little bit more direct in his poetry, is a poet called Steve Oliver, who's also an actor. You've probably seen him on some ABC programs. He's a comedian as well. But he's got this very powerful poem that he reads here called Hate, He Said. Stephen Oliver.
Hate, he said, was in my heart. Hate, he said, drove us apart. Hate, he said, to let it go. Hate, he said. But he did not know that what I had inside of me was a sadness born of empathy. That because I did not celebrate, it did not mean I was full of hate. I asked him to just try and see through my eyes the tragedy of dispossession, of the pain, the hurt, of the red of blood that stained this earth. I mourn for the lives that were lost. I mourn for what this country cost. I mourn for how we came to be, for the end does not justify the means. It's in the past, he said, move on. Why mourn for something so long gone? I looked at him and I came to say, do you think we should forget about Anzac Day? It's not the same, was his retort. I said, wait a minute, give it some thought. People died while fighting for their land, protecting it from a foreign hand. Make no mistake, there was a war that had been fought on these very shores. A war that didn't always discriminate whether elderly or infants could meet the same fate as those who fought to protect them so, and that's why we should never let go. Never forget what price was paid for us to live as we do today. He looked at me quite seriously, said he celebrates because we're free. He celebrates our democracy and everything great in this country. I said, that's fine, I get that, that's clear. Just please don't forget how we got here. Just take a moment to think it through what price was paid for me and you to live in this country as we do. Don't take for granted the sacrifice both of land and of life. We need to remember all who died. Not let their memories be swept aside. You got an apology, he said. It talked about loss, it mentioned the dead. What more do you want? He asked of me. And so I replied, in the hope he would see. We have a day. For Australia, the Queen, for New Year's and Christmas and all those between, like Labour and Easter, the Anzac Parade, and just what the hell is Boxing Day? There's even a day that we have for the shows, but nothing that speaks of my people's woes. A national day to acknowledge the cause, to acknowledge all that has happened before, and I don't mean NAIDOC, I mean something more, where the whole nation stops. Like it does for a horse. A day, is that too much to ask to remind us? Don't ignore the past. He processed my words and looked at the ground. We both sat in silence. Then there was this sound, a sound that seemed like heaven to me, a sound of two words that said, I agree. We talked some more as the day came to end, and despite our differences, I'd made a new friend. He understood as the day came to night that I needed some things in this country made right, and because I did not celebrate, it did not mean I was full of hate.
Yes, well, Stephen Oliver is a real actor there and performing that poem beautifully. Something worth watching, I think, on YouTube just to see his expression at the same time. Reinterpreting and asking questions about the history that we have accepted for a long, long time. I thought I'd finish up today with one of my own poems. Not that it's really my place to sort of reinterpret, of course, from an Indigenous point of view, but a poem from my collection, Songs of the Godforsaken, which is called In Brunetti, which I suppose is just asking questions about how we see society and whether we need to question some of the decisions that are made, perhaps in the light of perhaps what the Australian government announced in the last week, which is over $270 billion worth in military equipment, in missiles particularly, and just questioning whether that's a good way to spend our money. So this is called In Brunetti. The woman in Brunetti brushes up biscotti crumbs, fingers the handle of her demitasse. The man checks his iPhone X64GB for the S&P 500, selling shares in Electro-Optics Defense Systems, making R-400s to sell to the Saudis for the dismemberment of Yemeni children. The woman knows that inefficient models need constant improvement, that mankind is an anachronism, that womankind the future. Choose your own upgrade plan. Okay, so that's from my latest collection, which of which the Zoom launch is coming up on the 19th of July. Not too late to put your name down for a place in the Zoom room. And I hope to bring you some more poems next week. In the meantime, as we here in Victoria anyway, we enter another sort of more serious lockdown, which is going to prove very difficult for many people. Do stay well and safe yourselves.